Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Please rise as you are able, as our God speaks to us. This is the word of our God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the grain heap. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Everyone is looking for security. People put their money in the 401k, which I understand is a retirement fund. People are looking for security by going to the corner store and winning the lottery. Not endorsing that by any stretch of the imagination. People look for security in their husband or wife, in a stable job, in good wages. Security, what is it? Security is being secure, not worrying about the future, being able to live life today. Security seems to be something that is innate in people. That is something that they seek after, something that they strive for. It doesn't matter where you go. People want to know that they don't have to worry, that life, their life is stable. You see, security is something that is rare in our day and in our age. In fact, ever since our fall after the creation, security is not something that is easily to be found. For when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they disobeyed God. And their security in the love of God was replaced by fear of the wrath of God for their sin. They hid from God when he came into the garden. The earth was cursed so that they would no longer eat except by the toil of their brow. You see, sinners faced God's displeasure with sin. That is a certain but terrifying prospect. And so we look for security. We search for security. And many people seem to have security. Millions of dollars, billions of dollars. I heard that a certain company recently, its stock was valued at more than $1 trillion, something that has never happened in the life of the stock market recently. And can you imagine those who hold the most of those shares in that company, that how secure they are, how much money they've made, how much they're worth, until the market crashes and those shares become absolutely worthless. You see, even those things in which we place our security can be easily taken away. Are you secure? What are you secure in? Where have you found your security? And what will happen if that security is taken away? What then? Where do you turn? What do you do? Perhaps you've never had security. I suppose then you wouldn't miss it, though I'm pretty sure you'd still be looking for that security. Can there really be security in this life? What do you think? What about security for the life that is to come? In our text, Naomi and Ruth look for security the only way that they know how, from the hand of their kinsman redeemer, and they will not be disappointed. The book of Ruth is one of those beautiful books that you find in the scripture. It gives you a delightful picture of godly faithfulness in the midst of much unfaithfulness in among the people of Israel. The book of Ruth occurs during the time of the judges, and you know that refrain, the life cycle, as it were, of the children of Israel, that they would be disobedient, they would serve other gods, they would turn away from following other gods, and God would discipline them, sending an oppressor because of their sin, and they would cry out in despair for deliverance, and the Lord would come and deliver them from the hand of their oppressor. And things just get worse and worse. And the sin just seems to grow more and more, and the uncertainty grows more and more. And yet, in the middle of all that, and you might think that there is no hope. There is no hope, but there are no godly people living in the midst of the nation of Israel. And yet, if you believe that, if you had thought that, you would be exactly wrong. For here you find a picture of wonderful faithfulness, even in the midst of some unfaithfulness. You remember Elimelech, whose name means "My God is King," left Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, because there was no bread in the land. And they went to Moab, and Elimelech and his sons Mahlon and Chilion, they both died there. Having married, they left some widows, and Naomi was a widow, and she had nothing. She was destitute. Everything that she had, her husband, property, inheritance, goods, gone. Her security was pulled out from under her, like a kitchen rug might be pulled out from under a child who is playing a trick on someone. She had nothing left. What does she do? Well, you know, she went back to Bethlehem, for she heard that the Lord had visited his people and provided bread. And though she had returned, she was still poor. And you saw in the last chapter that Naomi goes to glean, to gather the fruit of the harvest that had fallen. And she went to a man by the name of Boaz's field, and she found favor in his sight. And he gave her more than enough of the gleanings so that she could go home with a heavy sack full of grain to her mother-in-law, Naomi. You see, they were seeking provisions. Elimelech and Naomi did not trust that the Lord would provide for them, even in the midst of famine, and so they left. And yet God comes and proves himself faithful yet once again. And you saw last time that the Lord provides for his people through the kindness of others, even as God provided for Naomi and Ruth through Boaz. And I want to show you by God's grace that God's people seek their security in their kinsman redeemer. God's people seek their security in their kinsman redeemer. You'll see Naomi's instruction for security, Ruth's request for security, and Boaz's promise of security. Naomi seeks to provide temporal security for Ruth through Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, that is to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" Notice the context or the situation in which Naomi and Ruth find themselves. As I've already said, they're poor, they're destitute, they have nothing. They have no one to protect them. They have no one to provide for them. Yes, the Lord had provided much, an abundance of grain for them this year, but what about next year? When that grain is gone, will Ruth be able to go into the fields and glean as much as she had this year? Yes, the Lord had provided for them, but Naomi wanted more for her daughter-in-law, for she loved her daughter-in-law very much. You know how loyal Ruth was. She left her lands and her people and said, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you die, there I shall die also. Some of the most lovely confession that you can find in all of the scripture. And Naomi loved Ruth just as much. Naomi knew that Ruth was a foreigner. She was a stranger in the land of Israel. And as such, she was an outsider. She would have, if a widow had no security in Israel, a foreign widow had even less security. She would be at the bottom of the barrel, scraping whatever crumb might be found there. But Naomi does not want that for her daughter-in-law. She knows that Ruth is a virtuous, godly woman. And so she takes it upon herself to seek security, to seek stability for her daughter-in-law, that it may be well with her, that she may not have to worry about the future, not worry about the things that are to come. And how is she going to find this security? Notice she says, "Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative?" You're beginning to get a sense of what's going on here in Naomi's mind. Boaz is a near relative. He is a kindred. He is a kinsman. He is family. And as such, family ought to find security with family. Boaz also has the means by which he can provide for Ruth. Naomi identifies him as being whose young women you were with. That is, he had servants. He had wealth. He didn't have to worry about what he might eat or what he might drink. And so Ruth and Naomi are going to seek security from Boaz. You see, the family is a place where one ought to find security. Sadly, in many families, there is no security. There is families filled with angst and anger and turmoil. You never know what dad's going to do when he finds the bottom of the bottle. You never know what brother is going to do when he's finished with his last hit of drugs. Family is often a place in our society where people do not want to be. But that's not the way that God had established the family. The family is to be a place of security. As the psalmist says in one of the psalms, that the Lord set the solitary in families. And it's to this family then, to Boaz, that Naomi is going to seek security for Ruth. We're told that he is at the threshing floor. Boaz, though he is a man of much work, or of much wealth. He is also a hard worker. He's willing to put in long hours until the work is done. I remember growing up on the farm, and when my father first purchased the farm, he had to spend many hours out in the barns fixing it up, many hours in the fields planting, taking care of all sorts of things. I don't know how he did it. He worked very hard, and that is the kind of worker that Boaz was, working long, hard hours. He was not afraid to get his hands dirty. He wasn't one that simply said to his workers, "You go and you do it." He went and did the work himself. And Naomi wants to find security through Boaz. How would she do that? In the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 25, you read about the Levirate marriage. This is the marriage arrangement where if a brother dies, marries and dies without having children, the brother's brother is to take the widow of his brother and provide a child for his brother in order that that child might carry on his brother's name, that it might not pass away, that his name might not be blotted out in the land of Israel. And Elimelech was dead. Mahlon and Chilion were dead. As far as they knew, the family line of Elimelech would die with him. But there was hope. There was hope of this kinsman or this redeemer who would take and raise up an heir for his brother. And so you have this picture in mind of what Naomi is thinking in terms of providing security for Ruth. He is winnowing. Now she gives her some directions. Prepare yourself to present yourself to Boaz. Wash and anoint yourself. Bathe and make yourself presentable. Set your mantle upon you. Some translations have best clothes, and in the original, there's not this idea of best clothes. It's not like she was going out to impress him. Yes, she washed, and she was clean, and she put this attractive-smelling oil upon her. But this mantle is, in the original, the idea is that of a mantle. Set your mantle on you. A mantle was a heavier outer garment that one used to wrap oneself in for warmth. And it makes sense that Ruth would put on this mantle. For as you'll read, as we continue to read through the chapter, she spends the entire night outside. She doesn't bring a blanket. Boaz had a blanket under which he put himself. It would be cold and damp. And she set this mantle on you for the warmth that she would need to make it through the night. And she went to the threshing floor. But here's the interesting part. Naomi says, "Do not make yourself known until after he has eaten and drank. Prepare to present yourself to the man, but not while he was working, not while others can see. Lurk in the shadows, lurk in the corners, far enough away not to be noticed, but close enough to observe Boaz and what he is going to be doing. And when the work is finished, when he is satisfied, when he has eaten his fill and drank enough drink to settle himself, when he is content, only after that make yourself known to him. And when he lies down, pay attention to where he lies down. Go and uncover his feet and lie down and wait for him. Go to him while he is sleeping, after he has satisfied himself, and wait for him to instruct you." Now, some tend to think or say that here Ruth was acting in somewhat of a prostitutionary sort of a way. But there was nothing of the sort taking place here. You read later on that she lay at his feet, that when Boaz woke up, he was startled to find a woman laying at his feet. You don't engage in immorality in that sort of a way. This was a platonic relationship. There was nothing untowards. She was not engaging in prostitution, and he was startled when he awoke at night to find a woman lying there. You're not engaged in that kind of immorality if you wake up and you're surprised that someone is there. And so Naomi tells her, go lie down. Do what he tells you. Wait for his instructions. For Naomi is confident that Boaz will do what she hopes he will do, and knows that he knows what to do. And so what is Ruth's response? It's the same response she has given every other time to her mother-in-law. Everything that you say, all that you say to me, I will do. Ruth is just as desirous of securing security for her life as Naomi is. Life is difficult for her. She's a foreigner. She's a Moabitess. She's living among a strange people with strange customs. She wants to fit in. She wants to be part of this covenant community that she has joined through Naomi. You see, God's people seek their security in their kinsman Redeemer. Naomi and Ruth are seeking security through Boaz, who is a very near relative. And so notice Ruth's request for security. Ruth follows Naomi's instructions. She asks Boaz to provide security for her, and he promises to do it for her if a nearer relative won't. Ruth did everything that her mother-in-law instructed her. She went to the threshing floor. She washed herself. She anointed herself. And she watched from a distance as Boaz ate and drank, and his heart was cheerful. Now that phrase, his heart was cheerful, does not mean that he was drunk. There are some that think he got drunk. But his heart was cheerful. The kind of cheerfulness that one has after working hard all day and seeing the pile of grain there that had been winnowed, and it's a sense of accomplishment. He ate and drank, and he had worked hard, and he was going to a well-deserved rest. He was satisfied from the crop. And he went to the end of the grain pile around the back, and he lay down beside the grain pile. He didn't go home. He was protecting the wheat, for can you imagine if the poor people would come at night and take all the wheat that had been winnowed? He remained there to guard that wheat. And he lay down, and he quickly fell asleep. He was comfortable. He had no worries. He had no concerns. He was secure. He slept soundly. And after he had fallen asleep, she came softly. She came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down and waited. Why would she uncover his feet? Have you ever slept outside at night? Do you think that you're going to sleep very well? I know some young men who built some kind of a sleeping shelter. They took their sleeping bags and they lit a fire out in the bush in the woods, and they tried to sleep. But they didn't get very much sleep that night. In fact, I think it was 3-4 o'clock in the morning. These young men finally got up and went home. It was so cold. They had the sleeping bags, but the sleeping bags didn't keep the warmth in. Boaz is outside. If his feet are uncovered, do you think he's going to wake up in the morning? Or he's going to wake up sometime in the night? Well, that's exactly what happened. She didn't wake him, not directly, but he was uncomfortable. His sleep wasn't as sound as he would have wanted. And as he's moving and wondering what's going on, have you ever done that? Been asleep at night and you wonder, why can't I sleep? And then you wake up and you find that your blankets are on the ground and you got no sheets over you and it's cold, or you're cold. You ever experienced something like that? Well, that's what happened with Boaz. And suddenly he awoke. And the word there for startled was like he was shocked. He was trembling. He's like, what's going on? What's this? And there at his feet was a woman that was lying. Who are you? He had no idea who this woman was. And notice Ruth's request. She said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. She immediately identifies herself as Ruth. Now notice she doesn't say, I'm Ruth the Moabitess. That's what Boaz had called her earlier on. That's what the people of Bethlehem knew her as, Ruth the Moabitess, this foreigner. But she says, I am Ruth, your maidservant. I am one who is subject to you. Don't be alarmed by me. And then she makes her request, take your maidservant under your wing. It's a beautiful picture of the protection that Boaz would provide and the provision that Boaz would provide. Have you ever seen baby chicks with their mother? They're really cute. You see the head sticking out from underneath their wings because they know that the mother is going to provide for them safety and security, that if anything goes wrong, it's the mother who will fight for them. And Ruth says, take me under your wings. Give me security and protection. It's this picture that's used in a number of places in the scriptures where it speaks of the people of the believer, of the psalmist, being under the shadow of the wing. In Psalm 17, for example, keep me, the psalmist says, as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. And I believe it is also in Psalm 36. There it is recorded once again that the Lord protects his people under the shadow of his wings. Many times throughout the Psalms and throughout the scriptures, you have this expression, under the shadow of your wings. You see, the people of God find their security in God himself. You recognize that when you face struggles and trials, the Lord is there with you. That though the storm rages all about you, you don't have to worry because you're in that shadow of Almighty God who protects you, who guides you, who keeps you, who encourages you in your loneliness and in the struggles and in the lack of security in which you face. The wind blows over because the Lord is unmoved. You see, and Naomi is seeking security under the wing of Boaz. Now, Boaz is not God. Boaz cannot provide her eternal security. He can only provide her temporal security. But Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the people of God find their security under the shadow of the wings of Christ. That your security, your ultimate security, is not in others, is not in those around, but in the love of Christ who went to the cross and died upon the cross for your sins and paid the penalty for you, that you might know his grace and his mercy. And Ruth asks, requests of Boaz, take me under your wings. Provide for me the security that I need. And for what reason? For you are a close relative. You are a kinsman redeemer. There you have this idea of the goel. You've probably heard that term before. The goel can be translated as kinsman redeemer or kinsman redeemer. A goel was a close relative, and this is closely tied with the redemption of property that Moses speaks about in Leviticus chapter 25. Do you remember when we looked at through the book of Joshua? What was one of the things that Joshua did for the people of Israel? Do you remember? They established an inheritance for all of the tribes. They said, this area belongs to Judah, this one to Naphtali, Asher, Gad, and so on. And all of that land was divided. And that land was then subdivided by the members of those tribes. And that land became their land in perpetuity, forever. It became theirs. Such that if they had to sell the land in the year of Jubilee, that land would revert back to the one whose inheritance it was. Why was that? It was because the land would not be sold properly. Leviticus 25, the land shall be not sold permanently, for the land is mine. All of the land of Israel was God's land. The people of Israel were simply sojourners on God's land. He gave it to them as their inheritance. But if they came into a time of poverty, such that they had to sell the land, they didn't actually sell the land, but what they were selling was the produce of the land. And depending on when the year of Jubilee would come, that's how much money they would receive, or that's how much the land was worth. Now, if a man was very poor and he had to sell the land, and his brother came along and his brother was doing fine, his brother could come. He could go to the man who had purchased the land and say, "I will redeem the land." To redeem means to buy back. This redeemer is the one who bought back the land of the inheritance of the one who had lost it. And that is the picture of the Goel. The Goel was the one who was the brother who came to buy back the inheritance on behalf of another. And this is what is taking place here in Ruth chapter 3. The land belongs to the Lord. They are but stewards of it. And Naomi comes to Boaz and says, "You are our kinsman redeemer. You are the one who is able to buy back our inheritance." And remember, what did Elimelech and Naomi do? They went to Moab. Well, what about their inheritance? They would have sold it, or they would have left it, and it would be in the hands of another. And so for Boaz to redeem the land, he had to buy the land back. And we know that Boaz is going to buy the land, because remember, if you've read ahead into chapter 4, he approaches that closer relative and says, "Are you going to redeem the land?" The closer relative says, "Yeah, I'm going to redeem the land. Well, if you redeem the land, you have to provide an heir for Elimelech's family through Ruth, and she needs to become your wife. Ruth says, "Be my kinsman redeemer. Provide the security that I long for, that I need." And notice Boaz's response, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich." Evidently, Boaz was a more elderly gentleman. He was no longer, as it were, in the prime of his life. He was no longer seen necessarily to be a desirable catch for some young woman. And yet, Ruth wants him to provide security for her. "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. May the Lord give you good, bestow good upon you. For you have shown more kindness," and that word for kindness is that of chesed, that loving kindness, that covenant faithfulness, that loyalty that Ruth has shown over and over again. "You have shown more kindness now in asking for security from me than you did when you first came to my field and remained in my fields. In this, that you didn't go after the young men, whether rich or poor," there must have been some more suitable suitors for her to go to. And what does he say? "Do not fear, my daughter. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. I will do as you request." He doesn't even hesitate. She comes, she asks for security, says, "Yes, I will." There must have been some sort of attraction that he had for her. Perhaps he was being respectful, for she was a widow in mourning. Perhaps by Naomi's instruction to wash and to anoint herself and to go to the field, Ruth was taking off her clothing of mourning and looking for a husband, looking for security. And so Boaz says, "I will do that for you. Do not fear." Those wonderful words of assurance that she has nothing to be afraid of. And what's the reason? Why does he agree to do this? He says, "For all the people of the town know this." Literally, all my people at the gate. The gate was the gathering place. Everyone knew about Ruth. Everyone knew what she was like. "You are a virtuous woman." And I love it. That word there that's translated as virtuous is the same word in the original that is translated as a man of valor, a man who is mighty in battle. She is a mighty woman, not in battle, but in strength of character, in virtue, in excellence. Her reputation preceded her. Her loyalty to Naomi, her diligent work, her love and her kindness were evident to all who met her. Young women, and indeed young men, work to be men and women of excellent strength and character. Would the world would have you throw yourself away on the vanity of self-advancement? The message that the world gives to all of our young people, it's all around us, is that you are to be a loose woman, to be a loose man, a woman without character. Do not do that. Work to develop godliness in your life, virtue and strength of character, because you are a young woman who knows what is right because you love the Lord. And the same is true of young men. And parents, that's our responsibility, that's your responsibility to teach and train your young women and your young the young men what it means to be godly young men and young women. Everything seems to be going just great. The account is progressing wonderfully. She had asked for security. Boaz had immediately promised security, and then wham. It looks like everything is going to go her way. But Boaz says, however, I will do for all that you request. Now it is true that I am a close relative. Yes, I am a kinsman redeemer. However, there is a relative closer than I. Can you imagine Ruth's heart just sink when she hears that? Oh, there's somebody else who could redeem me? It's not what she wanted to hear. If you're watching a movie, the romantic music would stop with some kind of a sour note. Her heart drops, no doubt. Now what? But Boaz reassures her. He says, if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. You are seeking security, and this is the godly means, the means by which God has provided security for you, through the means of a goel, through the means of a kinsman redeemer. If he'll do it, good. You're going to have what you want. But, he says, but if he won't do it, I will do it for you. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty as the Lord lives. He swears. He takes an oath before her saying, I will redeem you. One way or the other, Ruth, you will have security, whether by me or this relative closer than me. Lie down until the morning. Wait here until the Lord works these things out. You see, God's people seek their security in their kinsman redeemer. Naomi gives instructions to Ruth on how to obtain security. Ruth requests security from Boaz, and Boaz promises that security. So she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose before one could recognize one another. You see, Boaz is going to provide a gift for Naomi as a pledge that he'll do what he said he would do. And so Ruth lay down there until the morning. And she arose before one could recognize his companion. That's how it is in the original. She got up when it was pitch black and pitch dark. Apparently the moon wasn't out and you couldn't see or recognize anybody. She got up before a man could recognize his companion. And she was going to head home. She did not want to be seen. This whole scene, this whole episode had been done secretly. Ruth had hidden in the shadows, as it were. She had watched Boaz from a distance as he went to lay down, as he ate, drank, and went to lay down. And then she came up softly, secretly, and uncovered him. They had this discussion. He promises to provide security for her. Now it's time for her to head home. He says, do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. To whom? It's unclear as to who Boaz is addressing. It seems best to understand that he's addressing it to Ruth. Don't tell anyone that you were here. His reputation and her reputation could be misinterpreted, misconstrued, if it came to be known that she had spent the night there at his feet, even if nothing had been done immorally. Moreover, he says, bring your shawl. Bring your shawl here and hold it. So she brought it, held it, and he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then he went into the city. He says, bring me your shawl. And here's another reason for that mantle, that thick outer cloak. He gave her some grain, and it was strong enough and big enough for her to hold the sack. Now, the New King James and perhaps other translations add in italicis, ephahs. In the original, there is no word there. It just says, he measured 6 of barley. He measured 6 of barley. 6 what? 6 ephahs? Maybe. But if you go by the measure of an ephah was, 6 ephahs would equal, be the equivalent of about 180 to 300 pounds. Do you think she could carry that much grain? And she would carry that much grain? Probably not. But maybe it's a seah. A seah is a smaller unit than an ephah. But a seah is about 60 to 100 pounds. Have you ever carried maybe a 50-pound bag of grain? It's pretty heavy. Or 50-pound anything. It's pretty heavy. You imagine her with this mantle full of grain, 60 to 100 pounds? Well, maybe 6 omers. But even 6 omers of grain, which is, I think, a tenth of an ephah, is about 18 to 30 pounds of grain. Whatever the unit was, Boaz was generous. He gave her 6 measures of grain. It was plenty of grain. It wasn't just a little bit of, you know, 6 kernels or something. It was plenty of grain that he gave her. And then she went into her house. In the original Hebrew, that actually says, then he went into the city. In the Latin Vulgate and a couple of other translations of the original, they are thinking, well, she's preparing to leave. It's strange that it says that he went into the city. But really, he did go into the city to make preparations, to be at the city gate, to redeem Ruth on behalf of Naomi. And so Ruth also goes home. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, that is her mother-in-law, is that you, my daughter? You see, Ruth isn't the only one that had a sleepless night. Naomi had a sleepless night as well. She was wondering, what's going on? What's Ruth doing? What are they saying? Will she be redeemed or not? And remember that Ruth is coming home when it's dark before people could recognize one another. And she opens the door and you can hear the door squeaking open or clanking closed. If they had a noisy floor, you could hear the scuffle of the floor. Maybe you could hear the sound of her feet across the dirt floor as she enters into there. And Naomi goes, is that you, my daughter? She couldn't see her. She's really asking, how are you, my daughter? How did things go? She had been waiting anxiously all night, and Ruth set her mind at ease. She told her all that the man had done for her. And then notice what she added. These 6 ephahs of barley, or these 6 measures of barley, he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. That 6 measures of barley was a pledge to Naomi for the hand of Ruth. Boaz meant what he said when he was going, that he would redeem Ruth. And by redeeming Ruth, would provide security for Naomi and Ruth as well. And notice Naomi's response, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Sit still. Wait, my daughter. Be patient. Rest. The matter is out of your hands now. All you can do is wait and see. You see, patience is something that is often needed and more often neglected in our own lives, isn't it? So often we think that we need to take matters into our own hands. So often we don't want to leave it to the Lord to work out in His time and in His way. And so we make these decisions and we do these things, and just it's not working out. So often we become angry with God. We become angry with God because it doesn't go our way or it isn't fast enough. But the Scripture teaches that you are to be patient, just as Ruth was to be patient, to see how the Lord would work these things out. There was nothing that Ruth or Naomi could do but wait. Brothers and sisters, sometimes in our trials and our difficulties and in the things that we experience, sometimes we have to simply wait to see how the Lord will turn these things out. And He will turn them out for your good, for His glory. The man will not rest. While Ruth waits, Boaz acts. There's a sense of urgency in Boaz's actions, isn't there? Boaz wanted this. He wanted to redeem this woman. And he doesn't say, come back in a week. Don't come back in 2 weeks. Come back in a month. He says, I will redeem you tomorrow. And it is his turn to act. It is his turn to fulfill his promise. You see, Boaz is a man of integrity and a man of his word. And brothers, we ought to be men of integrity as well. Men of our word. You see, God's people seek security, their security in their Redeemer. You've seen Naomi's instruction for security, Ruth's request for security, and Boaz's promise for security. Everyone's looking for security, aren't they? Everyone. Where do people look? Self, others, things, possessions, power, money, fame. They look and look and look and do not find it. The funny thing is that those with little seem to be more secure than those who have much. But those who trust in Christ are the most secure. For your inheritance is guaranteed. You do not trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God and in His Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal riches. Maybe you might be poor. You may not have all the security that you want in this life. But this life isn't the only life that there is. There is a better life yet to come for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, you can have security now. Yes, even in the middle of loneliness, in the middle of sorrow, in the middle of angst and anxiousness and anxiety, you can have security in Christ. For the true eternal security, that it's security that everyone seeks, is found in Christ alone. Anything else is temporary and is subject to change and failure. And Boaz is a picture that is of that security that is to be found in his greater grandson, as you'll see later on, the Lord Jesus Christ. For while Boaz is a kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, Christ is the kinsman redeemer for you and for me. Christ is the kinsman redeemer whom Boaz pointed towards. As Naomi and Ruth sought their security in the kinsman redeemer and were not disappointed, how much more you, when you seek your security in the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you find security? Brothers and sisters, this is freeing. This feeling of stability and security that you're looking for is guaranteed in Christ. Christ's resurrection from the dead is the first fruits, the guarantee of your resurrection to eternal life in Christ as you believe and trust in Him. But you need to be patient. You need to wait to see how it turns out. You can't change your circumstances, but you can trust in Jesus who walks with you through the circumstances. In the end, what you long for the most will take place, for He will never leave you nor forsake you. But if there are those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no eternal security for you. If you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then the only security that you're going to have is eternal destruction, and that is guaranteed. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. You don't need to do anything more to face God's eternal wrath, for you are sinful by nature. But you need Christ to be reconciled to God. And then you will understand the grace and the mercy and the love of God in Christ. Then you will be forgiven, and you will know what it is to be forgiven, and you will be able to forgive one another. But you must confess your sin, confess your need of security, implore the Holy Spirit to unite your heart to Christ. Is there security in this life? Yes, there is. But it is not found in the things of this world. It is not found in the things that the world puts its trust. The only security that's worth having is the security you find in Jesus. While Ruth and Naomi found security in Boaz, ultimately their security rested in their greater grandson, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you trusting in? Where do you find security for your life? If it is in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be disappointed.